Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. 34 after, Mr. Wonderful at your service. We're glad to continue. We're glad we're continuing to be with you. We're glad to be with you and glad you're here. If you just tuned in, we're glad you did that. Welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And you're going to be, you'll see what I mean when you know who's joining us right now on our show. Brian Carney is back. He is the co-author of Freedom Inc. He is the London expert for the Wall Street Journal, and has been a member of our Brain Trust for some time now. He's here to talk to us about a couple of different things. Brian Carney, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's great to be back.
It's good to have you back. Talk to us about, now you've been in London now for some time. You've been back to the United States off and on, seeing what's going on over here. From somebody who's, you know, got a perspective from both sides of the Atlantic, give us your report on the economy. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing to watch the story on both sides of the pond, you know, because we had a very good quarter economically in Germany in the second quarter. It exceeded expectations. It was actually the best quarter in 4 decades or something like that. It may have been the best quarter since, you know, World War II for the German economy. And they're an economy that they didn't go in for the huge stimulus. They did a little bit,
right,
and they tinkered around the edges, but nothing like this sort of trillion-dollar blowout of public funds to try to stimulate things. And, you know, here in the U.K., they also had a pretty decent quarter in the second quarter, and now they're talking about a slowdown. And
now, the Germans, we have to point out that the Germans went through hyperinflation following World War II.
Right.
And they haven't forgotten that. I mean, it's visceral for them. The idea of inflation is visceral for them, isn't it?
Yeah.
And to some degree, it's not just the Germans. I mean, it's kind of become part of the ECB's, European Central Bank's mantra, isn't it?
Yeah, the European Central Bank, unlike the U.S. Federal Reserve, has a single mandate, which is price stability. They don't have this mixed mandate that the U.S. has at the Fed, where they have to try to maintain price stability and full employment, right? They just say price stability, keep inflation below 2%.
Yep, yep.
That's your only job. Let mm-hmm. other people worry about growth. And,
right,
and for the most part, you know, they've been pretty good about taking that seriously. And they've had a pretty good track record for a decade in trying to keep overall price stability in the Eurozone.
But Europe has also had to live with pretty high unemployment, approaching, you know, 8%, 9%, 10% during a time when we were at 4%, 4.5%, 5%.
Right, which is not the fault of monetary policy,
right,
of course,
right,
but it's a fault of economic policy. It's also the fault of a welfare system that increasingly the U.S. seems to be importing. Right.
I mean, isn't that one of the great ironies of our time? That as Europe is learning the lesson of their failed socialist tendencies, we seem to be embracing them. I mean, I'm having a hard time understanding what ballgame we're watching.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, people forget this, but nobody set out in Europe or anywhere else to say, we're going to design a system where growth is going to be 1% to 2%, unemployment is going to be 10% forever, but you're going to get, you know, a lifetime on the dole if you lose
right.
your job.
Right.
They put in generous protections, but they always expected them to be temporary. But, you know, as
That's
the slowdown continued, especially in the 70s, you know, the going into the 70s, spending as a size, government spending as a percentage of the economy was about equal in Western Europe and the U.S. And then we got the slowdown, we got the stagflation, unemployment went up. And in Europe, it just stayed there, right? Because they had this welfare system, and people realized, hey,
well,
I'm just going to keep collecting this
stuff.
You can't
give a 4-year-old a sucker and then take it away from them. They just don't want it. They don't want that. And I'm going to love
it. It seems to me that we in the U.S. are now stumbling into the same sort of mistake, right? Earlier this summer, we extended unemployment benefits again. Long-term unemployment rises every time we do this.
Right.
And yet...
And people don't see
the connection, right?
And plus we haven't, the same people haven't recognized that we have, right now, we have two kinds of unemployment. We have cyclical unemployment. We also have structural unemployment.
Right. And we also have, you know, the numbers that we see every month, you know, so many jobs lost is a net number, right? There are about 4 million jobs created and destroyed, for lack of a better terms, in the U.S. economy every month, good times, bad times, whatever. That number, you know, when you see, 500,000 or 200,000 jobs lost, that's the difference between those two.
Right.
But
hold on that thought. We've got to take a quick break. Brian Carney is our guest. He's the co-author of Freedom, Inc. He and I will be right back. Tony Taylor, stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of stuff there that will help you. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out the blog, the articles, the archives, the Brain Trust, and the newsletter. You can subscribe there to the newsletter. I hope you will do that because we'll send you that every Sunday afternoon by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. And, of course, our poll question on the homepage, which is about retirement this week. So check that out when you get a chance. Having a great visit with Brian Carney, the co-author of Freedom, Inc. He's also the, remind me your job for Wall Street Journal over there these days.
Oh, I wear a bunch of hats. I am the editorial page editor for the European edition of the journal. I'm a member of the editorial board for the Wall Street Journal globally.
I want to stick my note too, since then, that the Wall Street Journal is the most important newspaper on the planet as far as I'm concerned.
Well, we appreciate that.
I get it in the mail, I get it on my desktop, and I just put the app up on my brand new iPad.
You're one of my favorite people.
I know.
Jim. You're going to put my kids through college.
Well, I'll tell you.
I'm
serious. I just think the work you do is very important, and I just want to say that.
Well, thank you. I still, you know, I'm looking over at the U.S. and writing for the U.S. editorial pages and looking after the European editorial pages and you know, putting out whatever other fires.
Do you do any bylines yourself?
I do a few. I probably should do more, but
the
last one I did was about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac about 2 weeks ago for the U.S. paper and about.
Well, be sure to. I don't know if you can do it or not. Maybe we need to RSS, but we'd like to know what you're writing about so we can let our audience know about that.
Sure,
so,
happy to send
you
them your
mind,
way.
Put us on the. If you have a separate distribution, let us know about that.
Okay.
Quickly, I want to wrap up on the economy.
Yep.
A lot of people feel that there's just this incredible firewall being put up against taking risk, against taking chances, against growth steps until the election. And then because a lot of people believe that this next election is going to be a national gut check for America on whether, not whether we vote Democrat or Republican, but whether we focus on the people who want to be fiscally prudent. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think that we've got an administration here that just doesn't understand where growth comes from. And where growth in the U.S. comes from is from your audience,
yes.
Jim. It's from the people who are making new businesses. It's not from the businesses that we've already got. That's the kind of the European model, right? Let's prop up the biggest companies in the country and, you know, hope that they keep employed the people who are employed. The real growth comes from people who are doing things that aren't being done yet,
right,
or haven't been thought of yet.
Well,
there
are 15,000 publicly traded companies in America, approximately. And if they hire some people, then you multiply that times 15,000. There are 28 million of me and my audience out there in America. Most of them are home-based and no employees, but several million of them, 7 or 8 million of them, have employees. Well, if each one of those hires, you know, one or two people this year, then that's, you multiply that by 7 or 8 million,
right?
And that's where the growth, as you say, the growth opportunity comes from. What do you see? What are you seeing as far as the economy is concerned? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, you know, I think that as long as the Washington is fixated on these kind of defensive measures, right? Then it's going to be very difficult, you know, with taxes going up, especially risk capital taxes, right? Taxes on capital gains,
right,
and taxes at the top marginal rate. These
right.
are the taxes that small businesses pay. The capital gains are the taxes that the small business pays when he's successful and gets to sell the company or take it public or whatever. You know, with these things going up and with, you know, with the government fixated on paying out its goodies and stimulus to bigger businesses
picking and choosing the winners.
Right. I think that we've been making our growth prospects worse. And the fact is, what I wanted to say in the first segment about, you know, how Germany's up, England's up, U.S. is down, none of these things were forecasts, right? I'm not going to sit here and tell you what growth is going to be, because I don't
right.
think anybody knows. If you're lucky, you ask 50 people and the average comes out close. But 49 of them were wrong.
Right.
Because the growth comes from, you know, the growth comes from your listeners.
That's
it comes
right.
from the small businesses, and nobody has a model for predicting when they are going to create the next Apple or the next Microsoft. And so,
very little has been done to help that sector, and a lot of harm has been done to them, especially in the area of jawboning about certain policies that scare the heck out of us.
Sure, and raising their cost of doing business by raising the cost of capital. You know, reading again about how, you know, credit card rates are at an all-time high, even
yep.
though interest rates are at an all-time low, because the Congress passed a law that was supposed to protect people. It's just protecting them from getting the money they need
to expand or start a business. Already knew that. I mean, everybody understood what this was going to do, and we told government that this is what was going to happen. But, you know, in my own case, Brian,
yeah,
I'm in the process of trying to forecast my company over the next couple of 3 years,
right,
and I don't know how much to plug in there for taxes,
right,
and so that makes me not know how to price my product.
Right.
Every
sure.
small business owner in America is facing that right now, and therefore that's the reason why we're not growing. Brian, thank you for that. We're going to turn around into another topic. We're going to talk about what Brian's calling, what other people are calling, unlimited paid time off for your employees. How could that be in a real world? Stay with us. 10 till.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.